This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad to be back here as we get ready to roll this weekend. We have got the NFL games coming up to close out the regular season. We have also got, of course, the national semifinals. Now, listen, does it take a little bit of the luster from the bowl games? It can. It really does depend. The bowl games, you know, for my entire life, have always been the celebration of college football, even if in the end some of the bowl games didn't really matter that much. You could still really watch a good Rose Bowl game. When I was younger, when it was the Pac-10 and the Big Ten, even if it had nothing to do with the national championship implications, it was just a good January 1st bowl game. That still can exist, but there's no doubt that the semifinals have rise to the top. Everything else is sort of like feels a little bit more exhibition. You get the feeling like these are all teams that are on the outside, and the four teams that are in the semifinals are on the inside, but it doesn't really take away from the excitement of what can happen on Saturday, which is in the end, we've got the four best teams in college football all duking it out. Now, I know, and we've talked about this before, that there is a sense of, boy, I really wish this was expanded to include more teams, or I really wish we had different teams other than Clemson. Remember when Alabama was still kind of in the conversation? But the reality of it is you've got the four best football teams in college football. If you were to tell me who else would you want, who would you want? You have the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback in Joe Burrow. You have Trevor Lawrence, who's one of the more dynamic passers in the game. Ohio State, a traditionally good program. And then here's Oklahoma making their third straight appearance under Lincoln Riley, still trying to find their way to the championship game. Look, is it a perfect system? No, it's not a perfect system. It is still judged by people in a room. But when you settle in, and we're going to get more into this, when you look at what could happen on Saturday in these games, who has the edge? Where does the edge come from? What do you expect from the defenses on these offensive-oriented teams? All of this can really make for a very, very good Saturday. And, of course, we've got the NFL playoff implications and what all that means. It's all coming up as we roll on a Friday. Glad you'll be with you. I hope your holidays have been going well. It is Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, glad you could be with us. SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Glad we're back from the Christmas holiday. How was your holiday, Mr. Culver?
Fantastic.
Was it great? Good
it
couple
was.
Days off?
Well, it was that normal thing, you know, when you get one kid something that the other kid wants.
Yeah, I've been there.
I've had 2 days of that.
Yeah, pretty much. Right. No doubt. Glad to be back. We got a good weekend coming up. College football playoffs, and then, of course, the NFL closing out its regular season. Christmas Day NBA games were fun. I watched a few of the games. I got to be honest with you. I was so busy Christmas Day. Normally, I got some time to sort of watch a good matchup or two. But I don't know what happened. The day got away from me on Christmas.
It flew by.
I mean, just got up with the family, did the present thing, and then, made dinner and whatnot, but it just felt like the day just went quickly. We were doing some things. And
I can agree to that. And on my end, it started way early.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. We had to wake up my son, which was great. My son had to get woken up because we were just at a point like, hey, can we just do this? Can you get up now? You don't have to sleep till noon. Can we roll with this? We got things to do.
Kind of envious of that.
Yeah. You'll get there. And then you'll wish for the days in the morning.
Yeah. I might be waking them up at 5 in the morning.
Exactly. All right, so this weekend, the NFL playoffs, I've been watching this all week about how exciting it is to get to the end of these games, and you get so many of these different kind of scenarios, but we don't really have that many scenarios. It's more about seeding than anything else, right? I mean, it's not about where we're putting, all these teams have a chance to get in, right? The NFC East is still up for grabs, right? You got seeding going on where the Saints could move up to number one, or the 49ers could get it and whatnot. And that's basically it. And then the AFC, you've got a final wild card spot between the Steelers, Titans, and yes, the Oakland Raiders that we talked about last week or early this week about how the Raiders could still get into the playoffs. Other than that, we're just talking about seeding. So there isn't this wide bevy of opportunities for all these teams to make the postseason going into week 17. It's really just a matter of a few. If the Titans win, they're in. If the Steelers win, they need the Titans to lose. The Raiders get in with losses by Tennessee, Pittsburgh, and Jacksonville. They would get in. So that was a pretty good scenario for the Raiders to get into the playoffs. But other than that, what we're seeing at the end of the regular season is more about moving up or down, wanting to get that first round by, you know, playing well enough going into the playoffs. Who's you know, healthy, who's hurt, who's dealing with injuries and whatnot. Kansas City, for example, Kansas City can get the number two seed in the playoffs if they beat the Chargers this weekend and the Patriots lose to the Dolphins. Patriots are unlikely losing to the Dolphins, but Chiefs are pretty good. Chiefs are pretty hot right now. And that's their scenario going in. But all these coaches say the same thing. Well, we want to play our starters because of seeding. Sean Payton said this earlier. He has a chance to get the number one seed in the NFC. He's going to play his starters. My question is, if you look at the schedule, how much of your starters do you play if you are aware of what your scenario is going into any point of your game? So if you're playing a late afternoon game and you know that the only scenario that matters to you involves a team that's playing in an early game, and while you're preparing and while you're getting your team ready, you don't necessarily make it a quick switch because that game went in another direction. But you may find out later on, like, okay, that game is over. Now I'm going to start pulling guys. Does Drew Brees come out of a game if at some point they realize they're all set? That they're not going to go up or down. Now, I'll have to look at the schedule to see what scenarios that would be in terms of times, but that's the only thing that's on the plate. Every coach is like, no, we still got things to play for. Like, even the Ravens are wanting to play their starters because they, even though they have the number one seed in the first round bye, I think for Harbaugh, it's more about keeping fresh, not wanting to take this week off, next week off, and then finally playing, you know, 3 weeks down the road, 2.5 weeks down the road. I think you get some players in, you get them a little bit more fresh, and then you go to the postseason and see what happens. I think if you take 3 weeks off, if you had given Lamar Jackson and company all of this week off, all of next week to chill, all of the next week to start preparing, then, you know, 3 weeks, three straight weeks of kind of chilling out is probably not a good thing. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it whatsoever. But it's nerve-wracking if you're trying to get in, if you're the Cowboys and you don't control your own destiny, so to speak. If you're the Steelers and you don't control your own destiny, it's nerve-wracking. Because you realize when you look back in the season, there was that one or two games that got away from you, the one or two moments that could have changed the outcome of your season where you weren't in this position in the first place.
Especially for the Cowboys. I mean, I don't see them getting in.
No, I don't either. I don't think they're getting in at all.
I don't see the Eagles. I mean, unless Daniel Jones, what I think would be fantastic is if Daniel Jones, you know, obviously he's going to start the game. And then if Eli comes in and throws the dagger into the Cowboys one last time.
Right, sure. Sure, why not?
That's the storybook ending we're all hoping for.
Yep, Cowboys need a win and a Philadelphia loss to the Giants to get in, and that's basically it. That's it. And that's what the season comes down to. A season that started out pretty decently. I know they beat three straight bad teams, but still pretty decently. But all the talent that they had, building up to with Mari Cooper, getting Ezekiel Elliott that contract, Dak Prescott, this was his season to shine and showcase his skills to get that big contract, that big deal, to sort of what we were talking about in terms of what he could sign. All of this comes down to a win and need help. That is an awful, awful scenario for this team. Like, you can make the case for other teams that injuries got them, like the Steelers, or maybe they're playing a little bit above what we anticipated them to be, like the Raiders. But the Cowboys, no, that's not the way this was supposed to go for them. They were built to win this division. They were built to compete with Philadelphia on a different level than 8-7, 7-8. I mean, both of these teams, if it had gone down to the wire where they were both 12-3 at this point, or 11-4 at this point, then you could say, okay, one gets in, the other one competes for the wild card like we saw in the West. That wasn't the case. Both of these teams, just Philadelphia with some injuries, Dallas just struggled to struggle, right? Whatever it may be.
But that's the kind of season that they had. And that, it's, again, when you're rooting for these teams and you're going through week by week and you get to a position where you got to win and you got to get help, man, it really is a helpless feeling, because you put your faith in something that is just out of your control as a player. You can win your game and then let it stand, and then you got to watch to see what else happens. And sometimes that thing happens, and sometimes it doesn't. You know, last year the Steelers went through this where they had to beat Cincinnati, and then they had to watch Cleveland try to beat Baltimore and didn't do it. So just much more comfortable, Ron, when you win the division outright and you have a chance to rest starters and you don't have to worry about all this silly nonsense. Yeah. Just better when you're playing for positioning rather than trying to get in.
I think the most exciting thing is going to be watching this the final wild card spot in the AFC.
I do too, because I love the Raiders' chances.
Obviously, that's the only thing really left where one team hasn't gotten in.
Right.
I mean, besides the NFC East, but that one's kind of boring.
It was kind of boring.
But the wild card, I mean, I like the Raiders' chances as well.
It would be better if Josh Jacobs was kicking around with them, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see if he's going to be all right to play. He's up in the air for the Saturday's game. But they'll play in the Broncos in Denver. And then, you know, playing in Denver is always tough, but, you know, this Bronco team is playing a little different. They got a little bit more swagger with Drew Lock, but they need a win. I think the Steelers lose at Baltimore. I think if Houston beats Tennessee, and the Colts should be a Jacksonville team that is struggling and trying to close out the season. I know the Colts have had some injuries this year too, so, you know, that'll play in the factor. But all of those things are very, very possible. As we talked about last week, I know it sounded kind of silly because the Raiders have never been in the playoff conversation until I think most of the people woke up and said, hey, the Raiders are in the playoff conversation. But it's not some convoluted thing. Like, a lot of times you get these where here's a list of 10 things that have to happen for your team to make the playoffs in the 17th week of the season. And you're like, oh God, none of that's going to come to fruition. The Raiders scenario is very, very doable, very doable. And they'll have a better understanding of where they are when they play in the latter half of the NFL schedule on Sunday. They'll know the scenario of some of the earlier games.
Yeah, if the Steelers win? No, if the if the Titans win, they're in.
If the Titans win, they're in.
They're the only ones that really absolutely control their own destiny.
And actually, I'm looking at the timings now, and actually the Raiders will be playing at the same time as the Steelers, the Titans, and the Colts.
Great foresight by the NFL.
How did all of these East Coast games get the 3:25 start? Baltimore is a late one. Houston is a late one. That's Central Time Zone. But Jacksonville is a late one. The Giants are a late one.
We're moving closer. You know what's kind of fun? In the English Premier League, I can't wait. The NFL's got to adopt this someday. In the English Premier League, the final day of the regular season, all the games start at the same time.
Oh, that's great. I see, that's better. That's more fun.
So that way there's nothing you can do. I mean, you can't, if one team, a lot of times they've already clinched division, but they're still, it's the same thing in the NFL playoff with their seeding. You know, you want to make sure you're not in the bottom three. You want to make sure you're in the top four or top six. It's an even footing. It's like everyone's playing for it at the same time. A lot of times you already know who the champion of the league is because that gets decided a couple weeks ago, but there's still a lot to play for, just like there is this weekend in the NFL.
I remember when I was covering the Broncos, there was one year where Denver was trying to make the playoffs late, and they had these kind of scenarios where they needed to win and they needed a little help. And somebody asked Mike Shanahan, do you want to know? Because he was playing his game at the same time another game was being played. It wasn't an early game, and then they would play. So they were playing exact same time, and he said, do you want to know the status of that game as your coach? And he goes, why? He goes, what am I going to do? Like, am I going to call the game differently? Why would I need to know that? Like, I just need to win my game. Like, then let's see what happens. But no, I don't want to know what the score is in the second quarter of a game between the Chargers and somebody else to see if we're like on the verge of making the playoffs.
What'll be great is in these situations, you might hear cheering going on when you're not supposed to.
You can't help it now as a fan base, right? Because when you go to these games and you know there's all these scenarios, you can't help but look, right, just to see. And then you have these like, does the PA announcer announce the scores during one of the timeouts? I mean, there's all sorts of craziness.
I mean, honestly, looking at the schedule, I know we're going to dive more into the schedule later on.
Right.
But looking at the schedule, is there a reason to watch the – the 12 Eastern or the 1 o'clock Eastern kickoffs?
Yeah. I mean, I was just looking at them. Exactly. Besides seeding, there's really no other must-win, compelling, take-a-seat matchups that are going on in the early portion of Sunday's games.
Like, man, that 3:30 or the 4:30 slate.
Yeah.
4:30 Eastern slate.
That's great.
God, you have everybody vying for, I mean, even Dallas and Philadelphia.
Philadelphia both playing at the same time late on Sunday. This is actually pretty good. This is actually a pretty good time. This is a good schedule.
I mean, the NFL, I don't know how the NFL worked it out. Maybe they did all these times get flexed, maybe, and we didn't know. They'd announce it.
Maybe so. I don't know.
Because then your Sunday night game, that's must watch.
Yeah, it is must watch. Yeah, exactly.
Because that's either you're getting the, for San Francisco, you're either getting the one seed or the fifth seed.
This is going to be fun.
And in Seattle, you're getting, depending on, you know, you could be getting the 1, 2, or 3 seed or the fifth seed.
That's right. That's right. All right.
Fantastic.
We're going to get more and more into the schedule. We also got top five, bottom five. It's a weird show today because we had 3 days off. So we normally do top five, bottom five on Tuesdays. We're going to move it to today because we were off. And then we're also going to do our schedule. Matt Mershell is going to join us later on this morning. We're going to get the college football analysis of the two games that are going on. And we'll sprinkle in some other college football news. I don't want to diminish the accomplishments of everybody else in their bowl games, but the focus is on the national semifinals. We'll talk about that and what do you expect, especially with LSU and in their matchup against Oklahoma. Coming up, SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, O'Reilly Auto Parts will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier so when your car isn't stopping like it used to. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job just right the first time. Now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy a set of Brake Best pads and 2 Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, so the National Semifinals. You got LSU and Oklahoma. That game is going to be in Atlanta on Saturday. And then the Glendale, Arizona at the Fiesta Bowl, you've got Oklahoma going up against Clemson. All right. Now, look, I said at the top of the hour, these are the four best teams in college football. And I know, look, we are a society, a sports society, that we get a little tired of the same teams being in the conversation. And this year, we no longer have Alabama in the conversation, and we have LSU, which is a new fresh face. But we still have Clemson still in, we still have Oklahoma still in, and Ohio State, who has popped in and out of this thing since its inception. Now, I would love to open the door up to some group of five school or whatnot when we talked about UCF for years and Boise State when it was in the BCS standings. But in reality, what you're getting is something you don't usually get in sports. What you usually get in sports in the postseason is whether it's the Super Bowl, whether it's the World Series, whether it's the NCAA basketball tournament is a better example of this than anything. What you normally get is the teams that just found their way into the postseason and made a run. Sometimes they're the best teams in the sport, and sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're the number one seed, and sometimes they're not. College basketball, as I mentioned, is a perfect example of this. Rarely do we ever go complete chalk in the Final Four. Rarely. I think we had it once in 2007 or 8, one of those years. But very, 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 very rarely are all the number one seeds at the Final Four. We allow some upsets to occur. We allow some teams that are hot at the right time to sort of take over, and they may be seeded 7th, but they make a really good, strong run. World Series is like this, too. You can get into the playoffs with a couple of games above 500 because maybe your division wasn't that good, but you have good, solid pitching, and it comes together nicely in October, and you make a World Series appearance. You make a World Series run. Super Bowl, the same way. Even though the NFL is set up for the better teams and their path to the Super Bowl is easier, giving them a week off and then giving them a home game. I mean, think about it. If you are in a bye situation, you got to win one home game to compete for the chance to go to the Super Bowl, to be in the conference championship game. It's not really that difficult to do, to win at home after a week off. But college football is different. College football really wants the best of the best of the best competing in this. And no matter how you shake up the dice, whatever combination you get for that game at the end of the year for the national championship, whatever you get is going to satisfy. There isn't going to be an upset. If Oklahoma should beat LSU, you probably would think that's an upset, and that's probably as close as you're going to get. But Ohio State, Clemson, flip a coin. I mean, it really, I can't figure that one out. I've gone back and forth how good offensively Clemson has been, how great offensively Ohio State's been all year. Right? Defensively is, or which defensive team is going to show up between LSU and Oklahoma? Is either one of them going to show up with a level of defense? If I get a game between LSU and Oklahoma, and I mean this, and I'm not usually like this, I'll be honest with you. If I get a game that's 55-51, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. No, normally, sometimes I take a step back and go, yeah, you know, defense is, goodness gracious. I don't really want arena football. I don't really, really want something to be out of control scoring-wise. But I can take it. I've seen these kind of games before. The Rose Bowl between Georgia and Oklahoma was a great game that had high-scoring, back-and-forth affairs. I'm cool with that. But I'm good with that because I think the identities of both of those teams have been their stellar offenses. And if that is allowed to shine in this game, then I'm great. I'm totally cool. I don't expect Oklahoma to show up at the Peach Bowl with some stellar defense that I haven't really seen all year. And likewise, LSU's defense has been good, but not great. Their offense has carried the day. The thing with LSU, and the thing that LSU does great, is they force you to keep up with them the whole game, all 60 minutes. And teams just can't. They couldn't. Florida couldn't do it. Alabama couldn't do it. They score so quickly and so often that you can't make one mistake. Heck, you can barely punt before LSU could bury you offensively. They're that good. Now, defensively, again, they're not this ground out, fight for every yard kind of defense. They're not really built that way. They've got some really good defensive players, but overall defensively, they're not considered one of the best in the country. They bury you offensively. And Oklahoma does the exact same thing. Oklahoma has gotten a better defense for this year than Lincoln Riley has had in a long time. But the reality of it is this isn't going to be a showcase of defenses. This is going to be a showcase of offenses. And LSU is one of those schools where if you don't match them, they'll knock you out. They'll knock you out of the game. I watched their game against Florida, and Florida had a day where they were matching touchdown for touchdown. And I actually thought at one point Florida, if they could just force a mistake from Joe Burrow, that they could win the game. But instead, it was Kyle Trask who got the mistake, and LSU went up by two touchdowns, and that was pretty much it in the fourth quarter. Alabama, you saw what happened to Alabama in their game. Alabama made a nice comeback in the second half, but LSU had established themselves so early that it was hard to do because LSU was going to keep putting points on the board. The Clemson-Ohio State game, to me, I just cannot figure this out. And I've sat down and because my thing with Clemson is this. Am I going to bury Clemson? Am I going to think Clemson is less than because they struggled against North Carolina? Because they have had a season in which they are killing opponents. They are putting up 50 plus points a game over, I think, their last six. There is nothing to shy away about the way Clemson is playing football right now. But there's something about Ohio State that says this is a dogfight. There's no real edge that I see in this game. Clemson has got a quarterback. Yeah, well, so does Ohio State. Ohio State's defense might be on the same level as Clemson. But we've been wondering all season if Clemson is really that good. Remember, we did this all season. Don't hiccup. Ohio State could hiccup, but you can't, Clemson. LSU could hiccup, but you can't. One other factor I'm going to talk to Matt Mershell about this coming up in the next hour, which is you've got these schools like Dabo at Clemson, or you got Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma. Does experience in this thing matter? And before you say, well, yeah, of course it does. Experience in the playoffs do matter. A lot of these schools are playing a playoff game every week. A lot of these schools don't have a chance to mess up or screw up. They have to play and play high. If you're new at this like LSU, doesn't that just carry over what you've been doing the whole season? Talk more about the college football and the NFL coming up, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, guys, with football and basketball seasons in full swing, you get in the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, BetOnline. Sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You can start betting college or professional sports. With the NFL playoffs coming, it's a great time to sign up. Every spread, every total, every winner, loser, straight bet, parlay, tease your way through the season, plus those wild proposition bets. Who will win the NBA MVP? Get the fastest market odds, updates, and payouts with their new sportsbook partners, BetOnline. Head over to the website today. Use your mobile device to join. Use the promo code SBNation55. That's SBNation55 to receive your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right. So is there an emotional favorite in the college football playoff for you? Is there a team you're like, man, it would be nice if they hoisted the trophy?
Honestly, you know what? I would have to go LSU.
Me too. I was just going to say that.
Even though I feel like that's cliche. I mean, yeah. I don't have a school in the fight.
Me either. I never do.
Yeah, my school got rid of their football team when I was still going to college there. So,
oh, that is sad.
Yeah, we would never even be in the situation anyway, so it doesn't matter. but no, I think I just think an emotional Ed Orgeron post game would be fun to hear.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I'm leaning.
Me too. I like Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, and I think he's going to eventually get one.
Maybe not.
That's true. I got to be honest with you. I just did something I hate when people do. I hate when people say, "Oh, you don't know. We don't know if he's going to win one ever."
Right, we don't even know if this is if this was his final year in college football.
Right? I can remember in the 80s with Jim Boeheim at Syracuse. When they played in the finals against Indiana, and I was like, Jim Boeheim will win a title. Well, they waited a long, long time to win one from the 80s to 2003.
And we saw Dabo win one last year, so we're good. And are we ready for Ryan Day to win one? No.
See, no, that's the other thing, right? No. Ryan Day, he's a New Hampshire guy. I'm a New Hampshire guy. People have said, root for Ryan Day. I'm like, why? Why would I root for Ryan Day? Just because we share the same state? I don't know anything about him. Other than that, he took over for Urban Meyer, and he's a smart guy. Some reason, I'm more attached to LSU. I feel like there's just this thing I like about Ed Orgeron. I like Joe Burrow. I like his story. I like what they've done. I like the revamping of their image.
Or what he's done for Southeast Ohio's food.
That's right.
What is it?
The food pantry.
Food pantries.
What a good story that was.
So much food that they're passing it off to other food pantries because they can't hold them all.
So much money.
It's fantastic.
And this isn't an SEC thing because I'm partial to the SEC, but I'm also a critic of the SEC. I don't drink the Kool-Aid as much as some other people around my parts do. But I don't know. There's just something about their season that has just been enjoyable to watch. I've seen a couple of their games in full where I've really enjoyed watching them play. And as a South Carolina, I don't want to see Clemson any more championships. I'm done with the – I don't need another T-shirt, another we own the state thing.
It was cute when they beat Alabama last year, right?
Sure it was.
You like that.
Sure it was. When they beat Deshaun Watson won and also with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's a great story.
And here's the thing. I'm one of the only few Gamecocks that like Dabo. I like Dabo. I think he's a good dude. I had a chance to meet him. I liked him. I liked him immediately. Doesn't mean I want to root for them every single year and see the incredible success. My mother and father-in-law are in town for the holidays, and my father-in-law were having a conversation. He said, "How did they do it? How did Clemson pull this off?" And I said, "Yeah, it's a really weird thing because you don't usually get that kind of situation where you just come completely out of the darkness into excellence, right? We've seen teams do this every now and then, but for the most part, the teams that win are teams that have been building something or also not only been building something or traditionally good, that they may have an off year or two, but they've been around a long time. They're in the conversation a long time. It's kind of the way college football works. And like I said, there's a few exceptions, don't get me wrong, but for the most part, that's the case. Clemson was in the toilet when Dabo got the job, and also he was an interim coach. Remember, he got shellacked by West Virginia in the Orange Bowl, and they were ready to kick him out then. But they stuck to their guns. They thought he was a good enough coach. They thought he was a good recruiter, and they thought he was building something. I don't know if you went back to 2009, 2010, 2011, whatever those early years were for Dabo, if you had thought, guys, you will be in the national conversation every single year. I don't think anybody believed that. You know, we all say that. We all think that. When everybody gets hired, that's what they say in their press conferences, right? You see them all the time. My goal is to win a national championship. Anything less is unacceptable. Okay. But we all know that's not really the truth, right? You know, Sam Pittman got to Arkansas. He can say that all he wants, but Arkansas's got a lot of work to do to be in that conversation, right? Doesn't matter. If you're a new coach somewhere, if you're Mike Norvell and you're going down to Florida State, you still got some work to do. Maybe not as much as other schools, but you've got some work to do. Dabo getting hired, I don't think was a national championship level feeling in the upstate of South Carolina, but he's done something great with recruiting. And you know what else helped? I mean, do you remember last year when they won the title and beat Alabama, how many of his players willingly went on TV in the post-game interviews and said how great it was to play for Clemson, to come to Clemson? That you can't buy that. You can't buy that level of recruiting. It's one thing when a 55-year-old coach or a 60-year-old coach or a 45-year-old coach walks into your house and tells you all the great things about his program. But it's another when kids see other kids having fun and see other kids loving where they're at. That's a big selling point. You can tell a kid all he wants. Oh, come to Clemson. We've got this and we got this and we got this and you'll play and all the blah, blah, blah. But when they're watching TV and they see two guys on stage dancing because they've won the national championship and they grab a microphone and they say, everybody come to Clemson, play here. It's great. You'll love it. That you can't, and that Dabo gets that. Dabo's getting that from his kids. And I think that initial build of where they've come from to reach this point where now they're in. Now look, playing in the ACC helps. I'm not going to lie. All right. Let's not dismiss the ACC as some stellar week in and week out conference. But you are supposed to beat the teams you're supposed to beat, and they've done that. I'm not going to take that away from them. They can't help that the ACC is down. They can't help that Florida State did not rise up to the level of competition. They can't help that Louisville didn't either, or Miami didn't either, or anybody else in that conference rise up to give them the significant challenge. There was all this conversation about Syracuse. They didn't do it. All this talk, about Virginia Tech and Virginia, neither one of them could do it either. That's not their fault. In the SEC, you go through a landmine. That's just the way it is. Sometimes in the Big 12, you're going to face some really, really good teams in that conference. Big 10, same thing. But Clemson did beat everybody they were supposed to beat and did it in the last part of the season so significantly, it's amazing that we even thought the possibility of them losing to Virginia could cause them to be out. But that really was the case. That really was the case. They could not lose. And so the idea again, is something I was bringing up earlier. When you talk about other sports, you do talk about playoff experience. Now, sometimes it doesn't matter, and sometimes we've seen teams, the moment gets the best of them. In college football, these four programs, Clemson has been there, Oklahoma has been there, Jalen Hurts is so experienced it's not even funny. He's had the most experience in this thing that you could ever have as a player. 4 years, four playoff appearances with his second school. He's won a national title. He's lost a national title. He has been there. Joe Burrow has not. But that doesn't mean when Joe Burrow steps on the field, he doesn't know what it's like to play a game where this is a must-win situation. We cannot lose this game. He did it a couple of weeks ago when they played against Georgia. And that may have been a felt like they could lose that game and still get in, but they didn't know. And they absolutely knew they could not go to Tuscaloosa and lose to Alabama. They absolutely knew that. And then every game after that, they could not lose. And Oklahoma's in the same boat, and Ohio State is in the same boat. So the idea that these games are a different sort of thing than they're used to during the regular season, that's not the way college football is built. College football is built that these games are important all the time, every time. And there is a must-win atmosphere that goes on with these schools. Look, Trevor Lawrence and Clemson, very coming into this experience, won a national title last year. But Justin Fields at Ohio State, he knows that, look, I can't lose to Michigan. I can't lose to Michigan State. I can't lose to the teams on our schedule in the Big Ten. I can't. I can't. Our backs are against the wall. We lose, then we got to do some work, and we may not get in. No matter what work we do, we may not get in. So I don't know. Maybe when they get there, there's just a different way of business is being conducted, and it affects them. But I don't think the pressure of the okay, now I'm in a playoff scenario gets to them. Look, Lord knows we've seen the NFL where the playoff moment is just too big for people. We've seen that a few times. Where we see the one game, the one moment, it's just too much. But not, I just don't think in college football, when these four teams have been playing that level all year long, where they knew like a loss would really hurt us, we better not lose. We better be really careful.
Yeah, but for some of, I struggle with that statement of saying all four teams have been playing at such a high level because of Clemson. I struggle with the cards that they were dealt with their schedule and the ACC being down.
So Clemson is not playing at a high level?
No, I'm saying they're playing at a high level, but there were some games where it just seemed like they were going through the motion.
Oh, sure. Listen, their competition isn't there.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is
what Ohio State had to get up. I mean, you talked about it earlier where a lot of these teams have been playing playoff games every single week. I don't feel the same. That's Clemson.
No, but Clemson has been playing games in which they knew, look, they were going to throttle their opponents, but
yeah, and they were playing
games where they knew absolutely we couldn't lose.
Right, but we couldn't lose
to Wake Forest. We couldn't lose to Louisville.
And that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
To be putting on them, because they know that if you make too many mistakes, you've lost this game and then you're virtually out of the conversation.
Yeah. But the benefit for Clemson's schedule was they were playing competition that they could make a few mistakes and still whoop them by 45 points.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't the case for LSU. Right?
Or Ohio State.
Right. LSU, if Joe Burrow throws one pick late in that game against Florida, that game may have turned.
Yep.
That was such a back and forth game that game may have turned.
Or Alabama.
Same thing.
I mean,
as Alabama was coming back in the game. That's right. As Alabama was coming back into the game, all of a sudden, well, wait a minute. Hold on. We better. We haven't quite put this team away yet. And again, whether it was playing Auburn or name your tough game on the SEC schedule for LSU, it's not the same as Clemson. Clemson could have played NC State and Trevor Lawrence could have had a bad game and they still could have found a way to win that game and win that game convincingly. It could have been just an off day, but the North Carolina State did not have 60 minutes worth of football that could beat Clemson if Clemson figured out what they were going to do. But Ohio State, yeah, Ohio State was, look, some of those games were, you got to win. We got to win this game. Oklahoma, definitely, because they already had a loss on their schedule. So they knew that they could not lose again. Absolutely could not lose again. But, so I don't know. It's just, I do think the atmosphere is a little different. I think because the prize is right there and some kids react to that a little differently than others. Some guys react to that a little differently than others. But nevertheless, I just think it's a little different because there is a feeling of urgency during the regular season that a lot of other sports don't get. All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Well, busy, busy show today as we continue along. We got a lot of power. Like we said, top five, bottom five, the schedule. More on the college football bowl games. It's SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. There's some bowl games today, and then tomorrow really kicks in. Not only the finals, but you've got the Texas Bowl between Oklahoma and Texas A&M, USC and Iowa going at it in the Holiday Bowl in San Diego.
Yeah. Oklahoma State and Texas
Oklahoma A&M. State, I'm sorry, Oklahoma State. Chuba Hubbard, the nation's leading rusher, will be in that game.
What's his name?
Chuba Hubbard.
That's a fantastic name.
Isn't that a great name? It is a great name.
That needs to be in the NFL.
No kidding.
God.
Absolutely.
Ride with Chuba.
This is my favorite. Air Force in Washington State today is the Cheez-Its Bowl. That's in Phoenix at where the Diamondbacks play.
Okay.
Cheez-Its Bowl.
I think it used to be called, maybe it's still Chase Field.
Yeah, Chase Field. That's right.
Is it Chase Field or is it?
I want to call it Bank
new.
One Ballpark, but yep, that was what it was called, the Bob. But that's back in the late '90s, way back in the day when the Diamondbacks first emerged on the Major League Baseball scene. They played in the Bob.
It was back in the '90s. We're about to get into the '20s.
That's right, Bank One Ballpark. Now it's a Chase Field. It's the Cheez-Its Bowl. That's great. Cheez-Its Bowl. Do they just give that away for media gifts? Here's a box. Sit back and enjoy.
I think they should just, I mean, for fans.
Yeah.
When you show up.
Every fan comes in, get a little bag.
You get a little bag of Cheez-Its?
You ever go to a sporting event where there's people in front and they go, here's an energy drink, or here's a bag of M&Ms, or here's something that's going on. Yeah, you should get Cheez-Its for going to that.
You should get Cheez-Its.
That's right.
I bet you they do.
They must. Are you kidding? Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. When's that going down? Has that already gone down? Did I miss that?
Did we miss that? Oh, I hope not.
I hope not. No, it isn't. That's going to be on New Year's Eve.
There you go.
Florida State and Arizona State. Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl.
Why go out when you can watch the Tony the Tiger?
No, that's at 1 o'clock.
Is it Tony the Tiger Frosted Flakes Sun Bowl?
Nope, just Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. He doesn't need to bring up the cereal.
No flakes for you?
No. He just needs to bring himself to the party. That's what Tony the Tiger does. You can infer why he's there, but he's just himself to the party. That's pretty awesome. that's so fun. I mean, all these other sponsors are great, don't get me wrong, but man, when you're Tony the Tiger and your face is on the logo of a bowl game, I think if you're a cereal mascot, that doesn't get any better than that.
General Mills or what's the other big cereal brand?
Kellogg.
They're missing out. One of them needs to sponsor a bowl and just call it the Cereal Bowl.
I agree. All right. Top 5, bottom 5 coming up next hour. Rolling along. It's SB Nation AM.